On All Things Apostolic, we are talking about things that are secular and what's appropriate for a Christian. So stay with us. Welcome to All Things Apostolic. I'm Nathaniel Wilson, and I'm glad that you're with us. The question that we posed a couple of weeks ago was about Christians and secular music. Is secular music okay for apostolics to listen to or for Christians in general? And I think the original form of the question was on a podcast was, is it okay for Christians to listen to music that is not explicitly Christian? And that question was asked to Brother David Bernard, who is the general superintendent of the United Pentecostal Church. And so, first of all, we talked a little bit about what do we do with the definition of secular, which generally means, these are just straight out of the dictionary, of this world, non-religious, non-spiritual, unsacred. These are the dictionary definitions. Common to this world, meaning common instead of set apart. Worldly and temporal, opposed to eternal. So when we talk about is it okay to listen to secular music, if you were to insert each of these words, it would be music of this world. Is it okay to listen to non-religious music? Is it okay to listen to non-spiritual music? Is it okay to listen to unsacred music? Is it okay to listen to music common to this world or worldly or temporal as opposed to eternal? So when we talk about this, some of you are wanting this five-minute little clip here to get all of this out, but we're looking a little deeper in that. And so we ask the question, or we're going to right now, what does the Bible have to say about the world itself in which a child of God lives presently? Before talking about music, maybe we need to talk a little bit about secular and what do we do in regards to defining the world that we live in. And so when this is approached, it's easy to come up with a little quick answer, but when we say, what is the Bible's view of this present world, that informs our answer as to anything secular in the world and how do we treat it. And so the Bible's answer to this present world is that it is evil. That's how Scripture portrays this present world. And Jesus Christ, the Bible says, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, Galatians 1:4. And so evil, panaros, of a bad nature, that's the Greek of what this word evil means. It's of a bad nature. It's, if you're talking about physical, and this could apply to spiritual too, is diseased or blind. If you're talking about the word ethically, it would be evil, wicked, bad. So immediately, we see some caution signs going up here. At best, the present world in general is evil. And then secular things come from this wider toxic world, which is filled with disease, blindness, evil, wickedness, things of a bad nature, not how it was made, but how it became through the fall. And so that's another definition of this world. It's a fallen world. The Bible, of course, teaches that. Genesis 3:15 began the conflict. Then the contrast that we see here on earth, I will put enmity between thee and the woman and between thy seed and her seed. it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Another definition of this world that we're living in is that it is, for lack of a better word, hostile to the Christian in many respects. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 through 13 instructs us what most of you have read many times, put on the whole armor of God, that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand. So this whole section of scripture here identifies the fact that there are malevolent forces unleashed in the earth and in the universe. And we're not going to go back and retrace all of the biblical teaching on this today, but it's extant in the earth right now. And when it talks about principalities and powers, principalities comes from principle. Principle means first. So when you talk about principalities and powers, you're talking about first principalities and powers. Now, I always find this interesting that that the Christian that's filled with the Spirit of God and living for God stands in confrontation to and is arrayed against the original, the principal powers that were created in the universe. That's exactly what this verse is talking about. So we're talking about being arrayed against somebody that's real old, except I don't know that you could actually use the word old, but you get what I mean. And so this world that we're living in is we're talking about things secular, in this case, music, but that's just cherry picking one subject out of, I'm sure, hundreds of subjects that have to do with secularity in life, is because we live in this present world. And so this present world has things that come out of it that have a propensity to have evil in them. And so this is part of what we're talking about here. Also, this present world can be defined as temporary versus the world to come. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, Paul says, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens, 2 Corinthians 5 and 1. And he goes ahead and says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. 2 Corinthians 4:18. So the world to come has a permanence to it. 2 Peter chapter 3 says, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved. This is all temporary world. And the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. So we are looking for a world that is eternal. And this is a big subject throughout the New Testament, that the Christian is living in such a way that at the end of life, they leave this life or leave this world in a catching away, and that there is eternal life. And the life that we have within us is eternal life. And so all of that is talking about the contrast between the world of the Christian and the world that is going to pass away. So what does Scripture say about the general posture and relationship of the Christian to this present world? So the language that it uses, this is just a few scriptures on it. One of them is that we are pilgrims and strangers. Think of that, pilgrims and strangers. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, says Hebrews, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. So that's a categorization that stresses that there is a difference in the Christian on earth and the non-Christian. And the relationship of a Christian to earth things, things of the earth, is different than the relationship of someone that's not saved. So somebody listening to this program today could say, I mean, if they don't know anything about God, whatever, they could say, what in the world? What secular music? What's wrong with music? That's just ridiculous to even be talking about. But every Christian would agree there are forms of music that obviously we would not believe that it's right to listen to. And so this idea of being strangers in the world is just something we need to take note of. We don't have to go to seed on it here, but we need to take note of it. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. That's the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter 2 and 11. And so this is the Bible is setting up here a mindset for Christians in regard to the world that they live in. And so the Bible is presenting to us a world that is above as opposed to a world that is beneath. And so the writer says in another place, set your affections on things above and not things below. Think about that. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Colossians 3:2. All we're doing here is we're setting up the idea that there is a difference of living on earth as a Christian. And for the Christian, he sets his affections, she sets their affections on things above and not on things on the earth. That's the apostle's exhortation to us. And the word affection there is phroneo. It means sentiments, to be mentally and emotionally disposed earnestly in a certain direction, to desire. And love there means to desire an object outside of the self and to desire to go to and embrace that object and bring it back into the confines of oneself. That's a definition of love. It goes out from self and it seeks an object. It also means to interest oneself in something. And so this is all of this is background stuff. I know some of you just want me to get in a big fight here about music, and before it's over, we may. But all of this is background stuff that sets a general pattern that the Christian has a certain aversion to, or at least very careful consideration of anything that is strictly of this world. And you say, well, you know, there's a lot of things in this world that we do. We have to eat. Yeah, we eat. We eat in moderation. There's guidelines about eating. Well, we drink. Yep, there's guidelines about drinking. So the whole idea of the Christian's life and how we compose ourselves and the decorum with which we walk in this world are all included. And everything is important in the Christian life. So you have heavenly people versus earthly people. And one of the things that's stressed in the New Testament is that we are heavenly people. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Who has blessed us in all heavenly places. What in the world does that mean? It means that we are walking in heavenly places. And that's one of the reasons why I think that there's people that that would hear this podcast would have no relation to it at all. It would just seem like hodgepodge to them because there is a real experience of walking into heavenly places that people incur. And it impacts and transforms their life. And there are real heavenly places. And people that don't know anything about those heavenly places, this is just oddball language. They would say, I don't know, you know, what that's supposed to mean. But the Bible's very clear. And there's repeated statements about this, not only in Ephesians, but particularly in Ephesians, but in other places also. In Ephesians, Paul said, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So we're sitting together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So, you know, one of the things that immediately makes you think of in relationship to music is that a guy is playing his guitar, singing a country song or a gal or whatever. They're in the bar playing the song. The song is talking about things it's not things we're going to do, and it's things we may say, oh, that doesn't mean anything. But would you, the thought I'm thinking of is, if you're sitting together in heavenly places, would you be comfortable dragging that into that heavenly place and say, hey guys, look what I found? You know, maybe not. So I'm thinking here, 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. What does that mean? Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. So things there means this, that, these, he, she, it. So it indicates that there are many secular things which are to be avoided because they are worldly. So when it says love not he or she, that's people. So there's people that you're not supposed to embrace and with adulation. Movie stars, sports heroes, models, carnal attractions, people undressed, pornography, all of these kind of things are, those are he's and she's, okay? And it means things that are created for worldly pleasure. So if any love the world, the apostle goes on and says, the love of the Father is not in him. So are my songs, what are they about? Are they about things of the world that would draw me into them? And we're really going to talk about this later. And become an integral part of my life, even if they're not overtly evil. And so when you talk about loving something, you welcome it in. And if you love something, it means here in this verse to entertain, to be fond of, to love dearly. So this means that you have to, for something to entertain you, you must first entertain it. And so you must welcome it in freely to have its way with yourself and in your house and in your family and in your children and in your other guests. The apostle says, for all that is in the world, the lust, the sensual craving of the flesh, and the longing for that viewed for by the eyes, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, which is several definitions, but one of them is a pretentious confidence in the stability of earthly things, a pretentious confidence in the stability of earthly things. That stuff's not of the Father, but it is of the world. So there's things that are of the world that are at best unseemly, but that are at worst diametrically opposed and hostile to the Christian's life. So maybe we ought to ask, how does the Bible see the individual believer How does the Bible see the individual believer? That's a good place to start on next week. Thank you for being with us.